Welcome again to our studies, and thank you for tuning in today. We're looking at Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 18 in the broadcast. That is Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 18. And we're going to read a story here about Jesus healing a paralyzed man today. And then after we look at these verses in Luke chapter 5, we're going to turn back to Mark's account in Mark chapter 2, because Mark gives some details there that supplement what we're going to look at today in Luke chapter 5. And we're going to look at both of these accounts and talk about what happened here and what we can learn from it. Now, as you read this story about Jesus healing this man, you're reminded of how many times in the Bible that Jesus heals those that are sick. Jesus gave sight to the blind. Jesus cast out demons. Jesus healed people of all kinds of sicknesses and diseases. Jesus helped people who were crippled be able to walk by performing these miracles upon them. And here we have him performing this miracle of healing on a man who was paralyzed. But here's what we have to remember about the miracles that we read about in the New Testament. They're not just to help people out as far as the body is concerned. Now, it's great to see Jesus doing these miracles, and these people that received the healings that Jesus gave to them were indeed blessed. That was a great thing to do for these people. There's no question about that. And I certainly don't want to downplay the physical benefits of these miracles in the New Testament. But the miracles of the Bible had a higher aim. They had a higher purpose than simply to heal the body or to give some kind of physical blessing. And we're going to see that especially in this story that we're going to read today, Luke chapter 5. Let's begin reading in verse 18. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. Now that's Luke chapter 5, verses 18 through 26. Now let's go to Mark's account, and this is where we're going to spend the remainder of our time today. In Mark chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, And again he entered into Capernaum after some days. Now remember that Capernaum was a place where Jesus lived for a while. He taught in their synagogues there, and now he's in a house. He's in one of the homes there in Capernaum. And the Bible says it was noised that he was in the house. That means that it was spread. People were telling each other that Jesus of Nazareth was there in this house and he was teaching. And an amazing thing happened in verse 2. The Bible says, And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. Wouldn't it be great if we had things like this happening today? Wouldn't it be great if the Word of God was read in homes? If the Bible, especially the words of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if these words were read in a home, and so many people from the neighborhood gathered together that there was not enough room in the house to receive them? Wouldn't it be great if the Word of God was really read and preached in every church building throughout this land, so that those buildings were just overflowing and there was no room to get inside? Well, the Bible says that Jesus Christ was preaching the word to these people in this house, and there were so many people that wanted to hear him that they all could not fit into the house. Somebody else wanted to get into that house, and we read about that man in verse 3. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy. He was paralyzed, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, that is, for the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Now, let me just explain a few things about this situation here. Remember that most of the time back in those days, the roof was flat. And the roof was a place where these people would go when they wanted to be alone, when they wanted to meditate. And so there was a stairway usually on the outside wall of a house. And you would go up those stairs and get on the roof. And so don't think of a roof with the slopes like we have today. Think of a flat roof. And remember that these Jews used a housetop for something like we would use a porch today or a patio or a deck. Now, the other thing to remember here is the word bed and the word couch in Luke's account. When you look at the word couch in the King James Version in Luke chapter 5 or the word bed here in Mark chapter 2, don't think of a couch like you have in your living room. Don't think of a bed like you have in your bedroom. Because a bed or a couch was simply a general word for something that people would be carried around in. It might be something like a stretcher. It could even be just a blanket that a person was lying on. And so this bed was not something heavy like you might imagine when you picture those things in your mind today. Just think of something like a stretcher or a piece of material where they're carrying this man around. So the Bible says that they can't get in the door. And they went up those stairs to the roof and they broke up the roof so that they could let that man down to where Jesus was. The Bible says in verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were some scribes there. And the Bible says in verse 6, but there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. And remember that Jesus could read the minds of people. Jesus knew their hearts. He knew what they were thinking. And the Bible says in verse 7, that they were thinking to themselves, they were saying inside, why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Well, that's the point, isn't it? Jesus is God. He is God manifest in the flesh. They don't believe that. That is, these scribes and Pharisees don't believe that, but Jesus is God in the flesh. And so what they should have done was to say, well, if he can work miracles, he can forgive sins, that means that he must be God in the flesh. He must be the Messiah. But they didn't do that, of course. At least many of the scribes and Pharisees refused to do that. Well, the Bible says in verse 8, and immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? And Jesus went on to say in verse 10, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. Now, folks, you have in verse 10 an important reason for Bible miracles. Bible miracles were not just done to heal the body. Bible miracles were done to point people to the source of those miracles, to prove something to the people that saw them. And here he said that one of the reasons that he worked miracles was to prove that he was the Son of God and to prove that he had the power, that he had the authority on the earth to forgive sins. Now, why is it important for us today to understand these things? I mean, what kind of relevance do these points have to our lives today? Well, there are at least two things that I think that are very important for us to realize about this. And I believe that this understanding that we gain from reading these accounts in the Bible help us to avoid the misunderstandings that oftentimes are present today. For instance, when people think about miracles today, and when you hear people talking about miracles in the Bible, and there are many people today that believe in modern-day miracles. We've talked about that several times, And we really don't have time today to go into the reasons why that the Bible teaches that these miracles that we're reading about here ended in the first century. But my point is simply this, that when people talk about miracles, oftentimes the only aspect that they talk about is what we mentioned at the beginning, and that is the physical benefits, that somebody's body was healed, that there was some kind of physical blessing that was given by that miracle, and they don't look any higher. And what I'm saying to you this morning is that the Bible emphasizes where those miracles came from, and that a miracle itself never saves somebody's soul. In other words, when Jesus healed a man, when Jesus performed a miracle, that miracle never gave the remission of sins. That took something else. And so Jesus forgiving this man on this occasion was something separate from, it was something different from him healing this man's body. And so the purpose of the miracles was to point people to Jesus Christ. It was to confirm that the message that Jesus preached was indeed from God. It was to prove that he was the Son of Almighty God. Remember John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2? That's where Nicodemus came to Jesus. And he said, "No man can do these miracles that you do unless God is with him." Now, Nicodemus was honest, and he admitted that the miracles of Christ proved that he was the Son of Almighty God. So I'm simply saying that oftentimes today, this is not discussed enough. People don't teach this enough, that the purpose of the miracles was to confirm that Jesus was the Son of God. And then, and notice this very carefully, when the disciples started preaching after Jesus was raised from the dead, the Bible says in Mark chapter 16, verses 19 and 20, that the Lord worked with them, confirming the word with signs, that is, miracles following. So a primary purpose of the miracles that the apostles performed was also to confirm, to prove that the message that they were preaching was true, so that people wouldn't say, "Well, there are all kinds of religious teachers out there, and how do we know that these apostles are really sent from God?" They knew it because of the miracles that these men did. Now, the other thing that I wanted to discuss very briefly here toward the end of the broadcast is that when Jesus healed this man and when he told him that his sins were forgiven, remember that Jesus is on the earth, and as he says, he has the authority on the earth to forgive sins. He could say to this man, "Your sins are forgiven," without this man going and being baptized in the Jordan River. Why could he do that? How could he do that? Because Jesus was on the earth. But when Jesus died on the cross, his teaching or his will, his last will and testament was put into force. And that will of Jesus says that you have to believe that he is the Son of God. You have to believe that he was raised from the dead. You have to repent of your sins. You have to confess him. And you have to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Now, this man who's paralyzed here in Mark chapter 2 could not believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. So you can't point back to this man and say, "Well, I'll just be saved the same way that he was." That's impossible, because there are things that we have to believe as well as do today that this man could not believe and he could not do because he was living under a different law than the law that we're living under today. He lived under the Old Testament law. We live under the New Testament. And let me add there that Hebrews 9, 15 through 17 is a very important passage to remember in that regard. Well, thank you for tuning in today. It's been a joy to study with you, and we hope that you have a great rest of the day.